I'd like to give you a few basic definitions on K of x. So it will be the K theory of x. Ouais. So x will be G mod B. Ouais. G will be a complex semi-simple group. So I need B, so it's a Borel subgroup of G. And torus, so it's H, Cartan subgroup, which is isomorphic to C star L. So in type A, G is just SLN of C, and B, so B is triangular matrices in G, and H diagonal matrices in B. Okay, and so in this case, G mod B, you get flux in Cn. Okay, so I'd like to give you three definitions of K of X. So first, X, it's a topological space. And so you can define the definition one, K top of X, topological K theory of X. So by definition, you look at the Grothendieck group of vector bundles over X. On X, so it means so a vector bundle. For me, it means a complex, so it's E over X, and P, so the fiber, is a complex and finite dimensional vector space. So it's locally trivial, so locally. So it means locally it's U times CR. Okay, and so Grothendieck group, it means that it's so K top of X, abelian group. Generated by all vector bundles. And we have relations. So with relations, so E is equal to E1 plus E2 if we have an exact sequence of vector bundles. E1, E, E2, and 0. So, in a way, now if you have vector bundles, of course you get a class in K top of X, just isomorphism class of E, which maybe I will note it by E into brackets. Okay, so you can add bundles, so E plus F. And by definition, so you add each fiber, and by definition, you get just E plus F in K top of K of X. So it's a group, and I need a product. So now I can take a tensor product of two bundles, and it gives a product in K of X. And so it's a ring, okay. And if you just take a point, you get Z. So K of a point, it's just Z vector space is given by its dimension. So it's a first definition. And now, so I'd like to give you a second definition. X is also an algebraic variety, complex. And so you can look at the same definition, so it will be now K0 of X, but with algebraic bundles. Okay, so same definition, but you look at algebraic bundles on X. Okay, and so so we have a map, of course, phi from alpha from K top of X to K0 of X. No, from K0 of X to K, you just forget the algebraic structure, so you get a topological bundle, and it gives a map. And so in the case of G mod B, it's an isomorphism. So it's not true in general, but if X is G mod B, phi alpha okay, so you can look at topological bundles or algebraic bundles. And a third definition, which is useful to get basis of these rings. So now, so again, it's an algebraic variety, and you look at K sub 0 of X, so the same definition, but now you look at coherent sheaves on X. So I will not define what it means, but for example, if you, in fact, you, if you have a bundle, you can define its sheaf of sections, so it's maybe H0 of E, so it's a set of function S from E to X, set that S pi, so pi of X. It's, yeah, so you have S, okay, so it's pi circle S of X is equal to X for all X. So it's a sheaf, it's a locally free sheaf. I never know, yes. No, it's okay, no, it's okay. It's, okay. So, S from X to E, ah, yes. Okay. Thank you. Okay. So, it's a locally free sheaf, so it's an example of coherent sheaf. Okay, and in a way, if you know this sheaf, you know your bundle. And so, we have a morphism from maybe psi from K0 of X defined by this. So you have a bundle, and so you define it H0 of E. Okay, so it's a sheaf, coherent sheaf, and now a proposition, in fact, it's an isomorphism, since, or it's just because X is smooth and projective. Since satisfy an isomorphism between k0 of x and k sub 0 of x. Okay. So it does not mean that all K1 shifts are locally free, but it means that if you have a bundle, a K1 shift here, f on x, you can find a finite resolution since it's smooth. F, you can always find a resolution, but here it's finite. Zero. Okay, by and each fi is locally free. And so by definition, psi minus 1 of x of e of f is just a sum of fi with sign minus 1 I, so in k0 of x. Okay, and it does not depend on the resolution you choose to define psi minus 1. Okay. So now I will denote this ring just by k of x. So by definition, it's what we want, k top of x, k0, okay. Okay, so I'd like to give you one classical example. It's CP1. Okay, so here, to get generators of this ring, you just need to look at one, maybe, trivial line bundle times C. Okay. And you have also a tautological bundle over CP1, which is defined by P minus 1 of X. It's a line defined by X in C2. So P minus 1 of X. By X in C2. Okay, so it's a line bundle. And in fact, K of X, so K of CP1, is generated just by these two line bundles. One and E. And we have one relation. E minus 1 square is equal to 0 square. Okay, so in a way you see it's just K of CP1 is just if I define X E minus 1 is just Z of X mod X square. Okay, so first it's generated by line bundles, and of course it's isomorphic, you see, to the cohomology of CP1. Okay, and in general for CPn, for example, you will find by the same construction, Z of Xn, X mod Xn plus 1. And again, it's isomorphic to H star of CPn. Okay. So it's a general result here. As a ring. So now I will take x equal to g mod b. So I'd like to give you two ways to construct elements in K of x, K of g mod b. So first, line bundles, like E, in fact, it's a way to generalize E. So I need a few notations. So X of H will be a group of characters of H. So it means the group of all chi from morphism. From H to C star. Okay, so you see if H is identified to C, it was L, C star L. Okay, so with coordinate Z1, ZL. Now if you take KL integers, can define a character of H. So ZK, L maybe. So if you take K1, KL in ZL, you can define a character. Of course, it's just it sends Z1, ZL to Z1, K1 times L, KL. Okay? So maybe I will denote it by K, chi, K1, KL. Okay, and of course it's an isomorphism. Please map from ZK so to X of H. Okay, is an isomorphism. And so so if H is identified to C star L, I can say that the Lie algebra H star, H is identified to C L. L, yes. Okay, Lie of H. And so H star, again, is identified to C L. Okay, just because I need a notation for this. In fact, ZK is in the lattice in CL. C, it's L, it's not K. Okay, and so. So I have, you see, ZL in CL. And if CL is identified to H star, in fact. Okay, ZL is a lattice in H star, which is called the weight lattice. Okay, and you see that you get that HZ star plus is isomorphic to X of H. Okay, and I will denote, if I take lambda here, I will denote the character maybe by E lambda. Okay. Well, it's just a way to note ZL. But so now I'd like to construct a line bundle from a lambda. So if I take lambda in H Z star, so I get a character E lambda from H to C star. Okay, so I just now would like to define it on B. So I have a projection P from B to H. For example, in the case AN, it's just if you have a triangular matrix, you just keep the diagonal from B to H. Okay, and now if I want to define E lambda on B, it's just E lambda from B to C star. It's just E lambda of B. It's just E lambda of PB. Okay, now why I need that? So now I like to define a line bundle, so it's just L lambda over X. By definition, it's G times B C. So what does it mean? The set of V lambda G V mod G V is equal to so B acts on G, so it's GB E lambda of B minus 1 V. Okay, so it's easy to check that it's defined X is G mod B. So it's defined a bundle, and it's a line bundle over X equal to G mod B. So it's L lambda. And now, so a few facts. First, that L lambda 1 plus lambda 2, it's isomorphic to L lambda 1 tensor L lambda 2. Okay, so in a way, you get a morphism of group from HZ star to the group of line bundles. And two, we get all line bundles this way. And third fact is that, in fact, K of X is generated by, like CP1, K of X is generated by line bundles, by L lambda. Okay. So, it gives, in fact, now we have generators and we can find all relation between these line bundles. Well, I will not describe this relation. It looks like what we find in cohomology, and so it gives a description by generators and relations. Yes, exactly. Yes. Yeah, in fact, it's true for the CP1. It's like what you, in fact, it's not obvious for CP1, but when you see, when you know from. Yes. No, it does not split in general for, yes, but you have a filtration, yes, and so. I don't know exactly details, but. So, okay. So, well, I don't want to explain this description, and now I'd like to construct a basis of this ring. So two, it's structure shifts. So if you have a subvariety in x, y, subvariety, you can define its structure shift denoted by OY, and it gives a class in K of x. K is 0, sub 0, it's a coherent shift. Or what is it? In a way, it's a shift of functions on Y. Called structure shift. Structure shift of Y. Okay, and now if we have a decomposition of X in cells, we will get bases of K of X. So first, I like just to remind the definition of Schubert cells. So it's a fixed point set of H acting on X, it's W, which is N normalizer of H in G mod H. Okay, and so in X. In the case of in type A, and it's just Sn. Okay, H, yes, I didn't define the action of H. H acts on X. In fact, B, and so H, by multiplication, B, G, B, it's just B, G, B, on the left. Okay, so we get that. And now we can look at the B orbit if we have W in W. X Schubert cell, it's just B WB mod B, and by not by definition, but it's isomorphic to C LW by definition of LW. So it's an integer with L of W. Okay, and closure XW is called Schubert variety of X in X. Okay. And so I have a cell decomposition X, the union of X W zero for Okay. And so when I have such a decomposition, I get a basis. So the family OXW is a basis of on Z K of X. Okay. So now a question is how to multiply. So first question: how to multiply this basis OXU times OXV in terms of OXW, so it's CUVW. Okay, so it's an integer. So what do we know? We have no formula to compute these integers, but first, like in cohomology, we know that, I will explain the link with cohomology, and first, CUVW is equal to zero, unless we need a U to be, less than W and V. So it's just Brouwer order. Okay. So two, we know the sign of this integer, so it's not positive, but the sign of CUVW is equal to minus 1 to the power n UVW. So what is it, n UVW? It's the codimension of XW minus the codimension of XU minus the codimension of XV. Okay, so it's resolved by Brillouin. And third point, what is the link with cohomology? So now, if in cohomology we want to compute XU times XV as a sum of AUVW, so in fact, so now in cohomology, it's equal to zero, AUV double, it's not, I mean, it's equal to zero unless NUVW is exactly equal to zero. Okay? Yes. So we have fewer terms in cohomology, but in this case, if NUVW is equal to zero, we get AUVW, in fact, exactly CUVW, and it's a positive integer. So in fact, it's a more general problem to compute this integer. Okay. Alors why? It's because we have maybe not a proof, but a word on Chern character. So it's a morphism from K of X tensor Q to the cohomology. Here it's in H star, for example, Z. But here now it's in H star of the XQ. Okay, and in a way here it's enough to define it on line bundles. So I will just give you the definition on line bundles. It's, we get generators of K of X. So by definition, the exponential of the first Chern class of L lambda. Okay, so that's why we need a rational coefficient. So it's a finite sum. So what is C1? I will not define C1, but it's just in H2 of X. So C, the first Chern class of L lambda, it's in H2 of X, Z. Defined on Z, but we need Q because we take the exponential, which is a finite sum. Huh? Okay, so it's defined, and in fact, it's an isomorphism. So, of rings. First, maybe, and second, we know the image of OX, or we know not, but we know that OXU is sent to XU plus higher degree terms. Okay. And so now, of course, if in this equation here, you look at higher degree terms, lower degree terms now, you will get this equation. Okay, so that then 3 is maybe 3 star. Lower degree terms of star. Ok. So it was a first question, but now a second question is to find a Chevalet formula, so to multiply L lambda by OXU. So a second question is to multiply now L lambda, the class of L lambda, by OX, maybe U. And so now it's, again we get integers, and I will denote B lambda U W. Okay. So here, so we have an answer, for example by PT and RAM. Using what is called LS path. Okay, so we know how to compute these numbers, and now again, if you use the Chern character, you will get a formula in cohomology. So now, so but yes, in fact, yes, yes. But I didn't define what it means. So yes. Okay. So now, and so we get back. If we use the Chern character, it gives. X maybe, what I will call lambda times X U in the cohomology of X. Okay. Okay. So now I'd like to define the equivariant case theory and to explain why it can be easier to compute in equivariant case theory. So first definition. So now we look at equivariant bundles. In fact, so it's K maybe 0 of H X. So H in this case is just a torus and X is G mod B. Okay, and so by definition, you look at the Grothendieck group again, but of equivariant bundles, H equivariant bundles, algebraic bundles. So what does it mean? You have a bundle and an action of H on E. So it means first an algebraic bundle. H acts on E, so pi. Pi of H E is equal to H pi of E. And you see, so for all H, you get a map H. One. H from E X. It's pi minus 1 of x to EHX for all h and all x. And we want this map to be linear. Okay. And so now you can construct this Grothendieck group with these bundles. And again, we have a second definition with square one sheaves. So first definition maybe, and a second definition, k sub 0 of hx. Now you look at h equivariant coherent sheaves. And again, it's isomorphic, so maybe k h of x by definition, it's k 0 of hx, just because it's smooth and projective, which is isomorphic to k 0 of hx. Okay, so since we have a cell decomposition, which is H equivariant, again we get a basis of KH of X now. So we get, since we get, so X, yes, maybe OXW, again it's an equivariant sheaf since XW0 is H table. And so maybe I will denote its class by with H. Okay, so it's a basis. So yes, I should tell. So what is the K theory, equivariant K theory of a point? So just look at the point. You see, it's so you just have a vector space with an action of H, which is a representation of H, and so it's just a ring of representations of H. And since we have a torus, you know, it's just Z of X of H. Our representation is a sum of characters. It's generated by, as a ring, by characters. Okay. So, of course, KH of X is R of H module, algebra, in fact. And so over R of H we get a basis. Okay. And so we have the same question, how to multiply these bases and so on. So you see as a module, it's just K H of X in this case, and it's not true in general, but here, since we have a basis, it's just isomorphic to R of H tensor K of X. Okay, it's a module. Okay. You mean? It's a conjecture, but it's not proved, yes. In cohomology it's proved, of course, but not in K-theory. Just a conjecture. So, yes, positivity, I mean, of OXU times OXZ. Now you can... Yes, maybe first I'd like to be more precise here. Of course, we have a map epsilon from KH of X to K of X, with you forget the action of H. Okay? So it's just the same bundle. And you can define a map V0 from R of H, like it's the same map, to Z, just on X of H, if you have chi in R of, in X of H, you send it to 1. Okay? For a character, it's just 1. So it's a map V0. And in fact, now we can give an isomorphism between between what? So from this we get a map epsilon tilde, you see, from k a of x tensor r of h z. Well, and so z is a, maybe z, r of h module by under v0. In fact, oh, tensor, you see that you get a map to with epsilon to k of x, and in fact it's an isomorphism. And in a way, by definition, it sends, you see, it sends, so here, the class of OXW, you have a sum, in fact, of the RWOXWH, it sends this class to sum of V0 of RW, just now the class in K of X. Okay, so in a way now, if you want to, if you know how to compute structure constant in kh of x, you just have to, in a way, to compute v0 of rw to get structure constant on k of x. So, you know, maybe I will not define, but structure, in a way, you see V0 of structure constant in KH of X, it gives you structure constant. So again, it's a more general problem to find this elements in R of H. K of X. Okay. So now I'd like to explain why it can be easier to compute this algebra than to compute K of X. It's thanks to restrictions to fixed points. Yes, just what might it mean, positivity? Just maybe in a way, if you have a product of such one minus e alpha one, you can you might want to know here the sign of your constant. So positive, it can mean a sum of such terms with positive coefficients. But well, I don't want to. It's a bit more complicated to define. And of course, if it's positive, if you know the sign here, you will know the sign here. So, restriction to fixed points. So what does it mean? We have XH, so injection of XH in X, and it gives a map, a morphism in K theory. Maybe. I will define what it means. Okay, so what it means, if you have a bundle, in fact, over X, and you want to define I h star of E over x h, you have pi, and so here I h, the fiber over p in here, just by definition, and pi to pi minus one, pi zero minus 1 of p is just pi minus 1 of p, since p is in x. Okay. And so what is now, it's easy to compute here the k theory of xh, since it's finite. Here we just have a finite number of representations of h. For each fixed point, you get a representation of h. And so it's just a product of r of h for p in k a xh. So the product for p in xh of r of h. Okay, it's a finite set. And so it can be identified to all the functions, exactly the same, from w is xh to r of h. All functions from w to r of h. And so we get a map I h star from k h of x to this algebra, simple algebra, so it's f w r of h. And so it's not a proposition, but the proposition is that it's injective. And in fact, why it's injective? If you have a basis, or if it's a free module over r of h, it will be injective. So here, of course, we have a basis, and so it's injective. Because if we tensor by the fraction field of r of h, it becomes an isomorphism. So, okay. So here it's injective. And so now we would like to understand, of course, the image of this map. So, in fact, maybe we have two questions. Now, the first question would be to understand EH star of a Schubert class. At U, so in R of H. And the second question is to give a description of the image. So both questions have, we know answers to both questions, but I just like to explain this point. So it's what Megumi should tell this afternoon. So in cohomology, so yes, I will just say that in H star we have a finite set which are called roots. Finite set in H star. Okay, and so it's root system, and in fact delta, it's a union of delta plus, union minus delta plus, disjoint union. So okay, so it's just a finite set of delta, and to each alpha in delta plus, we saw yesterday that we can define a reflection S alpha in W. And now, what is, yes, I guess it's enough. So, what is EH star of KH of X? It's exactly set of function should that for all W. If you compute F of W S alpha minus F of W, and you divide by 1 minus E alpha. So E alpha, yes, because delta, in fact, it's in the lattice. Huh? Okay, so it's in HZ star. So for all alpha in delta, you can also define E alpha in R in X of H. Okay, by definition of my lattice and of root system. So here, just in Q of H, of course, huh, the fraction field of R of H. But R of H, we want it to be in R of H. So it's okay, it's a condition for all W. Okay, so and for all alpha in delta plus. So you find a finite number W times the number of alpha of equations. So I just like to give you how to explain, to show you how it works for CP1. Yes, CP1. So in fact, CP1, so in equivalent K-theory, is generated again by 1 and E. And so we would like to compute the restriction of 1 and E. Yes, so the action may be just here, H is C star. H is C star, and it acts, of course, H of Z1, Z2, for example, it's Z1, H of Z2, and we have two fixed points, and it's 1, 0, and 0, 1. So I will denote it just by 1. And here by S1. Okay? And so now, but it's obvious to compute the restriction. Here, you have no action of H on 1 by definition. So E H star of 1. So you compute at 1 and S1. It's just 1 and 1. Okay, so here it's a fixed point set, maybe W. Here is R of H. Okay. But now if you look at E H star of E, well, of course, on this fixed point, you have no action of H. So W and R of H. So on 1, it's 1. But now you see you have an action, of course, on this fixed point, S1, it's E alpha 1. Well, here, E alpha 1 is just the identity of C star. Maybe somewhere here. By Z, is sent to Z. Okay? And so, of course, you can check that F of 1 minus F of S1 can be divided by 1 minus E alpha 1. Here it's obvious. So just to like to give you, so the relation, it was here, it's obvious to check since E H star is injective. Of course, you see that you have the relation E minus 1 times E minus E alpha 1 is equal to 0. And for the first fixed point, it's just 1 minus 1 is 0. And here, it's just E minus E alpha 1 for S1, which is equal to 0. And since E H star is injective, of course, it's true for bundles. Okay, and now if you restrict to K of X, in K of X, you find just I explained V0, it's E alpha 1, now it's 1. So you get what I told you, it's E minus 1 square is equal to zero if you apply epsilon tilde. Okay, so it's a way to find a lot of relation, first in equivariant K-theory, and then you restrict to ordinary K-theory.